And again, good morning, Spirit Life Church family. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us on this very cold Valentine's Day here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't know where you're watching from, but here it is cold weather, ice and snow. And so anyhow, we're glad to be worshiping together as a family. I'm glad we have this online experience. I just want to encourage you this morning during the message today, just get engaged, be involved. You've already worshiped with us, and wow, what an awesome job our worship team did this morning. And so thanks so much again for joining with us. So if I say something that encourages you, put an amen, you know, raise a hand, do a hallelujah, whatever, and just let us know that you're with us here, worshiping with us here at Spirit Life today. Well, I want to pick up where I left off last week. If you have been following with us, we've just finished up a sermon series that we've been talking about growing up. We've been talking about the six-foot baby. And last week, I was wrapping up the message talking about the connection between our mouth, our language, our tongue, and the heart. And I referenced what Jesus said when he said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then I closed my message by basically saying that what God is really interested in, he doesn't really care about your tongue. That's not what he wants. What God wants is our hearts. And so I want to just kind of pick up right there today and talk to you about the heart. This is Valentine's Day. Maybe already or before the day ends, you're going to get a card. You're going to get a box of chocolates. Maybe it's going to be shaped like a heart. And the whole idea of that is that we just love people with all our hearts. I don't want to talk about the romantic side of love and hearts and all of that this morning. What I want to talk to you about today is giving our heart, our whole heart, our everything to God. And so I want you to look with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27, listen to what the scripture says. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. You know, when you listen to that passage of Scripture, I can easily imagine that it almost sounds like a speech or some words of advice that a parent might be giving to their teenager, maybe as they're graduating from high school and headed off to college. And, you know, here's some last words, some good important information about guard your heart. Or maybe it's, you know, on the first date and dad's looking at his daughter. And I can really identify that, having two daughters of my own, and saying, hey, listen, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Be careful who you give your heart to. Because we all know, if we've lived life at any at all, that there are those people who don't value our heart. They don't really value us. They're after us for what they can get out of us. And as soon as they're finished, they toss us to the side. They stomp all over our heart, you know, just throw us away, break our heart. I think I can hear some amens coming through right now. Some of you have been there. You've had your heart broken. And so these words of advice sound really sound. Guard your heart. But I want to share with you that it's not just good advice for a young man or a young woman. It's good advice for you. It's good advice for me, for all of us on a spiritual level. The word heart is actually found in the Bible almost 1,000 times, 963 times in the Bible. And it refers to a variety of things, our mind, our will, our emotions, the inner man. The heart, according to the scripture, would really be the place where God dwells, where the Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's that place where we commune with him. And it's And it's that deep inner part of who we really are where we make some of the most important decisions of life, decisions such as what we're going to do with God. Are we going to love God or not? Are we going to follow God or not? Are we going to live for God? Are we going to obey God or not? Which is why the Bible has a lot to say about our heart. For instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, the scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart, it says. Love God with all your heart. Jesus picks up on that over in the New Testament. And he quotes Moses and says the same thing. You better love the Lord your God with all your heart. Then the writer of the Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And so we're to love the Lord with all of our heart. We're to trust the Lord with all of our heart. And then we come to the New Testament, where in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul talks about this connection of the heart and believing and the mouth and salvation. Listen to what he says. He says, then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, notice that connection between the heart and the mouth. With the heart, man believes, but with the mouth speaks what comes from the heart. And he goes on and says, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession, or with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Let me get that right. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, everything that's really important in our lives comes out of the heart. It's what the proverb says. It is the wellspring of life. It's the wellspring, the valuable things, the source of life for us really is the things in our heart. And therefore, again, the writer says that we need to guard our heart. We need to protect our heart. We need to station, as it were, armored individuals, soldiers, guards to protect us, to protect our heart from anything that would try to get in and destroy it. Think of it this way with me. Imagine that you lived in an alpine village high up in the Alps, and the only source of water that you had was a spring-fed lake, beautiful, clear water. But it was the only source of water for your whole village. With that water, you had to drink from the water. You had to feed your animals from that water. You washed your clothes. You watered your gardens. Everything that had to do with life high up in the mountains, it all came from that one water source. Can you imagine how diligently you would seek to preserve it, to protect it, to make sure that it didn't get polluted, that nothing happened in that water that would in any way harm you or the other villagers? That's really the picture that God is painting here for us when he says to us that we need to guard our hearts with all diligence. Because, hey, if our hearts become corrupted, if our hearts get polluted, if our hearts are filled with sin, with darkness, then we're going to lose out on the relationship that we all desire to have with God. We're not going to experience that love relationship that we need to have with the Lord. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses this issue of the heart in multiple different ways. But think with me about just a couple of different passages that he talks about. In one occasion, Jesus says, you have heard it said that you shall not commit murder. And then Jesus says, but I say unto you, don't even be angry with your brother. Now look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying it's not enough just not to commit the outward act. Jesus says we need to get back to the root of the outer act. We need to get to the root of the problem. We need to get to the heart where that hatred begins to grow and develop. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't just deal with it out here. Deal with it in here. He's saying guard your heart. He uses another example. He says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then he says, but I say unto you, don't even look at a woman to lust after her. Again, it's the same principle. It's not just the outer act, it's the motive of the heart. It's the inner thoughts. It's where it all develops inside of us. And Jesus is saying, you need to stop sin at the root. You need to stop it at the heart. He's saying, guard your heart. That's exactly why the psalmist wrote and said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And it's just amazing to me to continue to see this connection between our mouth and our heart. The psalmist says, I don't just want everything that comes out of my mouth to be right. He says, I want everything that's in my heart to be right. So Lord, help me guard my heart. So far, we've really just been talking about the what and the why. But every time I hear a what and a why, most of the time I start thinking, how? How am I supposed to do this? Tell me how, Pastor Tommy, I am actually supposed to be guarding my heart. And the psalmist actually, or the writer of the Proverbs here, actually gives us the answer to that question. He gives us three practical steps, three practical tools, if it were, that we can take and use to guard our heart. And they follow in those next few verses. Look at them with me. First of all, in verse 24, he tells us that we need to keep our mouth right. Keep our mouth right. Keep our speech right. Keep our language right. Look at what he says. Proverbs 4, verse 24. He says, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Now, okay, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor Tommy, you've been talking about our language for the last couple of weeks. Are you really going to preach on it again this morning? Hey, good news. I'm not. I'm just briefly going to touch on this today because I have spent so much time on our language, on our mouth, on our tongue over the last few weeks, both the negative and the positive uses of that and how we need to really be protecting that. But what I do want to do this morning, I just want to give you a practical question for you to ask yourself. And that question is in your app, so if you're following along in the app, you can just make note of that or write it down if you don't have that. But here's the question. What does my language say about the condition of my heart? What does my language say about the condition of my heart? When God hears me talk, but hey, not even just when God hears me, when other people hear me talk, my language becomes a window into my soul. It becomes a window into my heart. And when I talk, you just listen to people just for a few moments. It doesn't become long before you know where their heart is. So what does your language reveal about your heart? There's a second practical step that the psalmist gives us, or that the writer, again, of the Proverbs gives to us about how we can guard our heart, and that is to keep our eyes right. So step number one, keep our mouth right. Step number two, keep your eyes right. Look at the next verse, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Because what your eyes see is going to affect your heart. So the psalmist says, keep your eyes straight ahead. Keep them focused. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Just keep focused. Most of us have seen blinders or blinkers. People use both to describe those things that are on the side of a horse's face. Because a horse's eye is actually kind of on the side of his head. He can actually see a long ways around. And a horse can easily become distracted by all the other things that are going on around him. And so someone who wants to put a horse in a race, or they want that horse to plow that field in a straight line, they want to remove the distractions. And so they put these blinkers, these blinders on. And with those on, he's able to just go straight ahead toward the goal. And it's like, that's what the writer here is saying to us about guarding our heart. He says, what you need to do is you need to just go through life, as it were, with these blinders on. You need to go through life looking straight ahead. Don't get caught up on the stuff that's going on over here. Don't get caught up on the stuff that's over here. You need to make sure that you're just keeping your eyes and your focus on Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice he's connecting this lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. There's a connection there, folks. What we see impacts our heart. It's one of the reasons why we have this little kiddie song that we teach our children when they're young. Maybe you sang it. Maybe you taught it to your children. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Or, as grown-ups, we've sung, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Keep your eyes and your focus on Jesus. And one of Satan's strategies is to get us distracted through our eyes. He's doing it to us today. He's always been doing it. In fact, he used that very trick to deceive Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know the story. God had forbidden Adam and Eve to eat of the one tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else you're welcome to, but not that tree. And Satan comes along, and he starts talking to Eve, and he starts saying, hey, take a look. Look at the fruit. Look at the tree. Look how beautiful. Look how delicious it looks. Oh, you really want to try that. And Eve starts falling for this deceit of Adam. Eve begins to look at it, and before long, she loses her perspective. Before long, she forgets about the judgment of the Lord and what God had said about eating that tree. Listen to the way that the Bible puts it in Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 6. And when the woman saw, you just need to circle that in your Bible. You need to underline that. That is so key. That is so critical to what the Scripture is trying to tell us. When the woman saw, when she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, circle that again, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In the early days of the computer, there was a phrase that got used a lot. It was garbage in, garbage out. It referred to the fact that if your computer was programmed wrong, if the computer programming was garbage, the results that you got out of it was going to be garbage. If the data that you put into the computer was bad data, it was going to give you bad results because the computer only knew what to do with what you fed it. Well, there's a similarity there between the computer and what goes in and what comes out, and our eyes and what comes in and what goes out. And therefore, the writer, again, the Scripture is telling us, God is warning us that we need to, if we're going to guard our heart, we've got to guard our eyes as well. We've got to make sure that we're not putting garbage into our spirit man through our eyes. You know what I'm talking about. Too many of us are garbage collectors, as it were. We're watching garbage on TV, watching garbage in the movies, watching garbage with maybe the books that we read, the places that we go on the internet. There's so much stuff, so much garbage out there, and way too many people have fallen prey to the lies of the enemy that those things, drawing us off to the side, go look at here, go look at there, go watch this, go watch that. It's going to bring happiness. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring contentment. It's going to make you who you want to be. And yet, it's the very thing that's going to destroy us. And so we need to watch our eyes. It's why the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I think that's a goal that we all need to be striving for. I'm gonna guard my heart by guarding my eyes. So as I already asked you one practical question, let's throw a practical question about our eyes. And that is, are you guarding your heart or are you looking at things that are garbage? You know, and God knows, the Holy Spirit knows. I just encourage you to be just really honest with yourself today. Is there something that you need to be doing different? Are there some things that you need to remove out of your life? Are there some blinders, some spiritual blinders that you need to put on that's going to keep you focused on Jesus so that the garbage doesn't come in, so that the pollution doesn't ruin your heart? Which brings us to the third warning, or the third way that the Proverbs tells us that we can guard our heart. And that's found in verse 26, where we're supposed to keep our feet right. So we keep our mouth right, we keep our eyes right, and we keep our feet right. Proverbs 4:26 says, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. You know, the way that we can make sure that we're walking in the right path is to be following the instructions that the Bible gives us. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want you to imagine on a bitter, cold, dark night, maybe one of these nights like what we're experiencing here in Oklahoma right now, where the wind is blowing and it's, you know, way below freezing, and you're out in the country and it's dark and you don't want to get lost. You don't want to end up, you know, frozen to death somewhere. And so what do? You want to follow the path. How do you follow the path in the dark of night? You got a flashlight. You got a something to light the way, to make sure that you stay on the right path. Well, the psalmist says that that's what God's word is for us. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates where we are and it shows us where we need to go. The word of God is so critical in guarding our heart. We need to be in the word. We need to be just taking in all of the light that the word of God, that the Bible can give to us. And so I just encourage you, where are you in your Bible study? Is that something that you're regularly doing? Is it something that you make a practice of? I mean, there's all kinds of things, not only just reading the word, but meditating on the word, studying the word. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be hiding the word of God in our heart so that it gives us the path that we need to be traveling, so that we don't get lost in this world, so that our feet keep walking in the direction that God wants us to go. So let me wrap this up with one more practical question. And that question is, are you spending daily time hiding God's word in your heart so that you don't sin before Him? So, on this cold and snowy Valentine's Day, I just want to encourage us once more, guard your heart. God wants you. He wants your heart. Guard what you say, guard what you see, and guard where you step. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word of God that we can hide in our heart, and the word that will guide us into the right paths. We thank you for the word that we've heard today. And Lord, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you speak practically to each of us where we need to hear from you? Lord, we want our hearts to be holy and pure and righteous before you. We know that we're living in a world of sin and darkness, And there are just so many things to distract. There's so many things that would lead us into the wrong direction, that would pollute our heart, that would fill us with sin. So, Lord, there may be some today that what they need to work on more than anything else is guarding their mouth. Maybe there's some others that what they really need to be focusing on is guarding our eyes, what we're looking at. Maybe there's some others that we need to get more serious about getting into the Word of God so that it's truly a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And so, Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, speak to us what we need to hear out of this message today. Before I close, I want to do one more thing. And that is, I want to talk to those of you who may not have yet given your heart to the Lord. That's what He wants. He wants your heart. And we already read the scripture where Paul says that it's with the mouth that confession is made into salvation. But that's after our heart believes unto righteousness. And so if you're with us today, you're watching online today, and you've not made the decision yet to give your heart to Jesus, to follow Jesus, I just encourage you. There's no better time than right now. I don't want to just make too much of today being Valentine's Day and the cards that we write and the letters that we write and the giving of our heart to those that we love. But the greatest Valentine's gift, as you were, that you could give to yourself today is to give your heart to Jesus. So if you need to do that, why don't you just pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. I'm asking you, Lord, right now, would you wash away all of my sin, all the impurities that have come into my heart through the life that I've lived, the things that have polluted me? God, would you wash me and cleanse me of all of those things? Be the Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to live my life for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now born again, a child of God, and I'm on my way to heaven. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to rejoice with you right now. I want to encourage you to do one more thing, and that is right there in the notes section, in the chat section right there, would you just write in the decision that you just made? I just gave Jesus my Lord, my life. I'm telling you, we're going to celebrate that with you. And then also let us know, and we will follow up. We want to send you some information that will help you to get started on the right path. Thanks so much again. God bless you for being with us online in our worship service today at Spirit Life Church. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Amen. God bless you.